This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Is that me talking?
No, that's Mark.
Oh, it's neither of us.
That's a guy named Miles who works here at iHeartRadio.
No way, it sounds just like you.
Well, thank you. He's our professional voice.
If for anybody out there listening, this is the second episode of In Depth with Ashley I, Kennedy, and myself. We have a very special guest that we've been promising you, I don't know, the last month. Sean Booth is in studio with us right now. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
And just a reminder, In Depth, and Sean, I'll tell you this as well. In Depth was something that we created with iHeart because Ashley and I realized that Almost Famous is incredible, right? We get to break down the episodes. We get to talk about what's happening in Bachelor Nation. But oftentimes these Bachelor contestants kind of come and go and we don't ever get to know them. Like, we actually never get to know them. It just happens and they're gone and we're on to the next season. In Depth is meant to pull back some of Bachelor Nation's favorites into studio and just say, you know, what's up now? Who were you before the show? How'd the show affect you? And then what is life looking like, you know, now as we look forward? You're obviously somebody that everybody's very excited to talk about, mm-hmm. And have been talking about because, unfortunately, a situation in your life that has been, I would say, not ideal. So you're the perfect person to bring into studio.
Yes.
And you know, Ashley and I, this is something, and Sean, I know we got to talk about it a little bit before. There is no desire in your heart, and for anybody out there listening, to bash Caitlin. And it's not our desire to bash Caitlin. This is not a Bash Caitlin podcast. This is a Let's Get to Know Sean podcast. And so anybody out there listening, this whole episode is going to be just allowing Sean the place to speak truth, to speak from his heart. And Ashley and I just want to listen.
Perfect. Let's do it.
I want to do a lot more listening. I feel like a little bit awkward if I can like be honest right now.
You know,
because like I'm friends with Caitlin. I've met Sean a couple times, and you're so wonderful. And all the times that I've met you, but
that's the awkward thing about breakups in general. It's like you have all these friends, right? And then as soon as you break up, it's like, well, you kind of lose friends too because people kind of choose sides, I guess. Which is, I don't know if unfair is the word, but I can understand it. But you'll start noticing that people don't talk to you anymore. That's just one of the tough things about breaking up.
Yeah.
So, and I know you guys are close. So, like Ben was saying, we're not trying to make this a bash Caitlin thing. It's just,
let's get to know Sean.
Talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just talk about Sean. Let's make it lighthearted and fun for now. And then we can ease into the story.
You're right. And it is. Story. And just to let everybody, this is a weird situation. I mean, right? Like, I don't think it's crazy for you, Ashley, to say, I feel awkward. Mm-hmm. I feel awkward. Mm-hmm. I think we felt awkward dancing, you know, around my breakup for 7 months. It kind of felt like it was always like being brought up or emails are being brought in.
Yeah.
You know, your breakup, obviously, you know, we danced around that for a while after Winter Games.
Sean, what do you have to say about that?
What part of The Bachelor has not been awkward since we've all gone on that show? I think there have been many, many awkward situations since day one.
Yeah, so feeling awkward just is what we accept.
We're just so used to it now. Yeah. It really doesn't faze me. I can like actually say to somebody's face, so I feel awkward around you.
Yeah. Ashley, I have a job for you to do. You did it great last time. The fans love it. As we're talking today, I need you, we're going to end this episode with a rapid fire question round for Sean again. Right. And I need you to start forming those as we're going here. Okay.
Sounds fantastic.
So if you hear her writing and plugging away, it's because she's got a job to do. And as Ashley's researching and writing, Sean, we met on night one, and I think that's always a really fun story for me to tell. And let's, I would love for you to remind all of our listeners how we met, and then what that first night entering into this whole new world felt like to you.
Yeah. So that's one of the cool experiences about going on that show is you form these lifelong friendships. And I think just going through this breakup, I try to look at some of the pros that have come out of it. And I think me and you have been able to talk more and connect more, which I look at that as a good thing. But yeah, we met night one. We were in the same limo. It was me, you, Ryan McDill. I do know that. Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Albers.
Ian, he was a pleasure.
It was five people. Treasure.
He's come and go fast.
Right? It was five people, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we met and we kind of connected right off the bat since night one. And then we were roommates all the way up until, I think, eighth, ninth week of the show. And we had to split up into our final three.
Uh-huh.
But we were very supportive of one another, which is also another thing that people find tough to believe when you're dating somebody, but then you have to rely on your friends in the house to kind of help you get through things. So me and Ben were always really close since night one.
It was, you know, Ashley brings it up now and then because Ashley found love from Caitlin's season. But Jared.
Can I say an interesting statistic right now?
Yeah.
Caitlin's entire top four have been engaged through the show, and Jared is the only one that's remained. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
That is actually kind of interesting.
It is interesting, right? Oh, I have another interesting stat. Did I say it on the podcast the other day? Yeah, I did. There are more bachelors married to the runner-up than there are their first pick. So it was Sean, Nick, Ben, and Jared. They were the top four of Caitlin's season.
Yeah, Tanner is also on that season, but he wasn't the top four, but
yeah.
He's engaged in the... So you're saying, this isn't where I want to go too far deep into.
Sorry, Ben.
But
to bring up that awkward stat.
No, it's actually very interesting. You're saying there's more bachelorettes married to their runner-up?
Bachelor. So it'd be Jason Mesnick and Ari both ended up marrying their runner-up.
Wow. Oh, boy.
And then Sean Lowe is the only one married to his runner-up.
That's kind of weird. Yeah, so we meet on night one. And Ashley, I think you'll know this about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I felt really comforted by being friends with Sean because you look around the room, you're like, Sean's the cool guy in the room, right?
He
stood out. And so the fact that Sean and I were friends, I remember going, I'll be okay because somehow the coolest guy in the room likes me. Does that make sense?
I will say Sean definitely puts out those vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I remember night one as Ben being very shy, and he was nervous the whole night about his entrance. He sat down on the couch, and all night he was kind of kicking himself, saying that he thought he'd messed up. But
what'd you do?
I did mess up. I think everybody would say it. I literally
you ended up doing all right for yourself.
I got a limo and I was like, because it was back when there was two bachelorettes.
Yeah.
And I went to Britt and I was like, I hear you like to help kids. I like to help kids too.
Oh Lord.
No context. No context given. I walked over.
I like kids. You like kids.
We should get married. I walked over to Caitlin and I couldn't get my words out. Like I froze, like literally froze. Like I couldn't speak, and I just said, "It's nice to meet you. I'll see you inside." And I just walked inside, and I went inside, and I sat on the couch. I was like, "Oh man, like this could not have gone worse." One girl thinks I'm creepy. The other girl like hasn't heard me talk yet.
Did you know who you're gonna go vote for going into that season?
I didn't know we were voting. I don't think we knew that there would be a vote off. I thought they would both be the Bachelorette up until the moment they said, "Hey, you gotta vote." Yeah.
Which one were you more interested in going into the show?
I think Britt and I had more in common, but I think Caitlin definitely had the bigger personality.
Yeah.
And so that's why we did that. But it's true, like, you know, Sean just has this charisma about him. The guys know it. Jared has mentioned it.
Jared definitely has like he's not intimidated by you, but he does think of you very highly in the same way. Like, oh, he's the cool one. Well, you were definitely the one that he always was like, nope, that guy's way better than me. Then, you and Ben.
That's not true, and I think very highly of Jared. So, and I do miss that guy and miss all you guys.
Aww.
So, you know, that is a good place in to kind of look back because we want to get to know you a little bit. So you walk on the show as the cool guy. People perceive that. You might not feel that about yourself, but that's what people perceived you as. What was your life like before the show? What were you doing? What led up to that moment that you said, I'm going to go on this show? Mm-hmm. And then I want you within this, Sean, because I do remember this as I was prepping for this, to talk about the story of your tooth leading up to the first night.
What?
I forget.
You chipped it.
I did chip it. Yes. All right. So leading up to the show, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I kind of made this big move in my life about 3 years prior to the show. I've always been a small town guy, grew up in Connecticut, went to school up in New Hampshire, and then started, working insurance out of college. And I've always been in athletics and played sports my whole life and played soccer in college. And I really got into fitness. So I was doing that on the side. I moved around from Wisconsin to Michigan, back to Connecticut. And then I was just at this point in my life where I really just wanted more. I wanted to make a change. I wanted to kind of see what was out there. So I went on a guy's weekend to Nashville, Tennessee, and I got back on the plane and I told my buddies that I was going to sell my house once I got back to Connecticut and move down there. So I did that. I moved down there by myself and then was there for a year or two. And then one thing led to another, ended up at the Bachelor Mansion.
How did you apply for the show?
So I was introduced to a couple buddies down in Nashville. And we had went out to a honky tonk in on Broadway, and they were doing casting for The Bachelor. And a buddy of mine, he was on the show with Andy for one episode. Yeah. So he wanted to go say hi to the producer there. Mm-hmm. And once they found out that The Bachelor was casting, and we're like, oh, this is cool. This bar is filled with a lot of women. it was like a Tuesday night. And we drank. And then I met with one of the recruiting ladies. I did an interview. They wanted me to do the interview there. And I was like, I'll pass on that. It was like midnight and wasn't quite sure about that. And then months down the road, she ended up getting my information from my buddy. And then she said she's coming to Nashville and wanted to meet with me in a hotel.
And obviously they're saying, hey, we hit the jackpot with Sean. So, Sean, you've been told now at this point in the story that you're going on the show. You're leading up to the show. You choose to still go out and drink on a night. You tip back a beer and chip your tooth, what, 3 days before leaving for the show?
Yeah, it was something real close to the show. Had a beer up to my mouth, a glass bottle, probably Michelob Ultra, and got hit by this girl and chipped my tooth.
Ugh.
And went to the dentist, and they said it was going to take about a week or so to get it fixed.
No.
I said, that's not going to be all right. And they're like, well, it's just going to take a few days. We can't fix this. And I was like, you don't understand. And I didn't want to tell a lot of people. And I wasn't like, hey, I'm going on the show. And then I finally told him, like, hey, listen, I've got a really big event coming up. Kind of, it's going to be on TV. There's a lot of people that are going to see it. And what can you do to help me out? So they are like, oh, we got to get this guy a new tooth.
Good.
And so, I mean, you know, we've talked about it all the time, but obviously that first night, you kind of look around, you know whose lives are going to be changed from the show. I think most of us looked around at Sean and said, that's a guy whose life is, no matter what, going to be changed.
That's interesting, because I thought the same thing about Caitlin. It was Caitlin and Britt, actually. Those are the two girls that are like, they're going far.
Why was that? What stood out to you about them?
Caitlin, it was because she wasn't afraid to say anything, and I did think she was so pretty. And then with Britt, she was just that feminine beauty.
Yeah. You know, Sean, it does feel weird, and I don't, at any point, if you are like pulling back and like, I don't want to even talk about that, it's fine. But it does feel weird to talk about Caitlin right now. But we're going to get into, you know, what's happened and allow you to tell your, just where you're at today here in a second. But going into night one, I remember seeing that limo, and you were confident that she was something special, right? I remember you looking at me and saying, that girl's got something that I desire.
Oh, wait, what about that Snapchat? Like, were you watching our season, the Crystal season, for the one that you'd want to be the Bachelorette? And then you said, I'm coming for you, Caitlin, with the heart on Snapchat. And that's like infamous. Now all the guys that are up for the next season do that.
Yeah.
So did you feel something through the TV even?
Yeah, I did.
I was, as Sean takes a second here, I remember, I don't know. I remember that. What was it, our very first episode of Almost Famous was the week that Lauren and I broke up. You remember that? And how brutal that was. I mean,
no, I remember.
I mean, we did the very first episode of this show the week that we broke up.
You put on a serious facade.
And it was really hard. But I will say, with all that, there is this level, I don't know, man, your life here in the last couple of weeks has been very public on something that's, I would imagine, I don't want to speak, one of the hardest things you've ever been through. And it feels weird just kind of sitting back watching it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of just tried to ignore it, I guess. Going through a breakup is pretty difficult to begin with. And then throwing it out there in front of everybody to see makes it that much harder. But that's kind of what we signed up for. You've been through it. So just trying to figure it all out and sit with my emotions and figure out what I'm feeling. And, you know, I think the old Sean would have just kind of ignored everything and been like, all right, I'm just going to ignore this and I'm all right. But now I think I get a little bit older. I'm trying to, you know, figure out what hurts, why it hurts, and kind of work through it. So the past few months I've been working hard at it and just looking at it from all different angles. So it's yeah, it's tough.
What are some of the questions that kind of come into your mind then, as you are processing this? Like, what are some of the stuff you're starting to ask yourself?
Well, I think that the hardest part about going through a breakup is, you know, not only did I,
okay. Yeah, we can take a break. Sean, before we took a break, I asked you, you know, what are some of these questions that you've been asking yourself? You mentioned that you ask yourself these questions as, you know, the breakups now happen and you kind of look back on these last couple of years.
Right.
What are some of those questions?
I think just going through the normal human emotions with any breakup and looking at it from all different angles. You know, first, obviously, you know, there's the heartbreak and pain, and which I think is normal with anybody going through a breakup. I'm just trying to I guess, figure out, I guess not why, but trying to understand things right now, but I guess this goes with her new relationship too. Just kind of makes me question everything that we've had. So I think that's one of the major questions that runs through my mind. Just trying to understand that, which I think is tough to understand. But so I ask myself those questions, but then there's a part of me that is, you know, I do care about her, so I am happy that she doesn't have to really, I guess, deal with maybe all the pain and the heartbreak, because it seems like she's moved on and she's happy. So that does kind of make me a little more comfortable knowing that she's not at home at our empty house. So I look at it from that point of view. And then I also think that it's helping me to move on, because it does hurt that much, but... seeing everything, it does, you know, upset me, and it does make me a little angry. But it also helps me to move on, knowing that maybe we weren't right for each other, and that I will find somebody down the road that will also make me happy.
When do you think it started falling apart?
I mean, we had a tough go right out of the gates, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows that. It was a pretty dramatic season, probably one of the more dramatic seasons, but yeah, I'm not gonna lie and sugarcoat it and say, yeah, it was all, you know, roses right out of the gates. I mean, I think we started having a tough time with our relationship in like the second week of the season. We went through all different types of ups and downs, and I remember even talking to Todd Snyder, producer, who I was really close with. He's like, I've never seen somebody go through so many ups and downs on this show and the relationship, because it was always push and pull. Like, we were going through some serious stuff on the show, and then obviously once we're engaged and we're able to announce that we're together, we're happy, we're excited, and then you still have to deal with other issues, and it's always like, I had a tough time on that show. It was always a battle of my heart versus my brain, right? And I think the whole Nick situation was a big part of our relationship.
Would you say you never got over the Nick situation?
Yeah, I think it's always something that was in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was tough. And that's where I say it's always a trying to figure out what my brain feels versus my heart. My brain tells me I'm on The Bachelorette. This happens. I remember saying that to all the producers, like, I remember them being like, why aren't you so mad? Why don't you want to run out of here? Why don't you want to go punch a wall? Like, aren't you furious? And I'm like, I'm on The Bachelorette. Like, this stuff happens. She's not completely committed to me. Versus my heart feeling like, damn, that really hurts. And then not only that, but then having to deal with that everywhere after the show and everywhere we went. And that was always a big topic. And that was one of the major storylines of our season, I think. I think if people were to look back at that season, they would remember the me and Nick, I guess, feud and what happened with that. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think anybody can agree with that, that having to, you know, go through your engagement and you're together, but still dealing with the past and it being thrown in your faces everywhere. Cause that was like a powerful thing, right? Cause I wanted to support her as, you know, being a female and being able to do what she wants. And, so she received a lot of good press for that. Right. And then a lot of hate for that as well. But I mean, it was every magazine, every news channel. I remember coming home from my apartment, like walking in and seeing it on Jimmy Kimmel, like making jokes about it, or going to the grocery store and seeing it on the cover of a magazine, or going out somewhere in public and somebody saying something to me. So it was literally everywhere. And that's just, I think, normal to have those feelings when you are engaged to somebody. Yeah. It wasn't easy.
Well, and not just engaged. I think this is a good example of when reality television becomes real life. And you're not just engaged to Caitlin, you love Caitlin. And so you're in love with somebody who is also, and I know Lauren dealt with this, you know, and it sucks. And there's no, but like you're in love with somebody who is still being put on magazines talking about other people.
Right.
You're watching them kiss other people.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching them express feelings for other people. And I think for you, you cared about her. I mean, there is zero question in my mind from night one to the very end that you were all in on her. Like,
right.
I was figuring it out, right? Like, mm-hmm. I was still trying to figure out what Caitlin was to me. A friend, you know, a good, you know, pal, or if I was really pursuing her for life or not. You, from day one, said, no, that's somebody I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so your heart was on the line the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been tough for me to open up. And for me to trust people in general. And so I kind of just told myself going on that show, the only way this thing is going to work is if I, you know, fully open up and treat this as a normal relationship. And that world is anything but normal. And you guys know that. And you can try and treat it like a regular relationship, but it's not at all. I'll come back home, or I'll be waiting. Like, I remember we had such a good relationship, and we'd talk about Caitlin, but it got to the point where there was just four of us left, mm-hmm. and we were still in the same room. And like, I'd be laying in bed, and then you'd come home at like 1 or 2 in the morning, and you'd get in bed. I'd be like, how was it?
So not normal.
Right? And you're already like, I was already in love at that point, and yeah, you're like, yeah, it was good. I was like, all right, I don't want to hear any more. Like, let's just go to bed. Like, at that point, it's like, holy shit, this is getting pretty crazy. But yeah, there's nothing normal about it. But it's not like I have regrets because I went in there and, you know, I guess I left it all out there. And yeah.
But it gives everybody out there and myself a backstory to how you got to this point, right?
Right.
I remember a night in Ireland. It's Sean Mitch. I think it's the night he's talking about. I got home late and he's still awake and he's laying on his bed on top of the covers, looking up at the ceiling, and he won't even make eye contact. How was it? I said, it was good. It was good. Yes. And he goes, all right, that's cool. And he's done, and he rolls over and sticks his head right in the pillows. And I was like, this guy absolutely adores
loves
this person.
Her. Yeah. I know. I have to say that from the portrayal on the show, I've never seen it portrayed as deep love mm-hmm. as it has been with you and Caitlin. Mm-hmm.
It
felt like soulmate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean, I have to ask now, is that why this has been so hard? I felt love from this show
mm-hmm.
and this new season, right? This mm-hmm. this chapter, now that you're looking around, you're saying it's no longer the same as it was. Is
right.
Because of the authenticity and the genuineness and the real love that was felt, is that why this has been so hard to process?
Yeah. Absolutely. Because it's like, not only were we engaged, but it's like, man, I lost my best friend too.
We're going to take another break.
Hey, what's up? I'm Stephanie Pratt. You may know me from The Hills.
And I'm Wells Adams from, like, Bachelor in Paradise. And, I don't know, I date someone that's
famous. Okay, you guys, he's Wells Adams, Sarah Hyland's boyfriend.
Can that not be my moniker?
Oh, it's No, it should be.
So
that's
when
it.
We start the show, you're just going to be like, hey,
Wells,
it's
enough
Steph
about
Pratt.
You. Enough and, about you.
And this Sarah is- Hyland's boyfriend. Oh, we're going for it.
Enough about Wells. This is actually the Prattcast.
Yeah.
And it's going to be about the Hills. And we'll be talking about things you can't hear anywhere else, having castmates come on, talking about Wells' dating life with Sarah.
You brought it back to me.
I know. I was looking at you. My bad.
They've locked us in this freaking studio together, and they won't let us out until we have your new favorite obsession. So please subscribe to Prattcast after you finish this episode, or just do it right now because you're probably bored of this episode.
And literally, we want to get out. It's lunchtime.
Yes. I'm sweating right now.
Ew. Can we turn on the air?
Yeah.
Gross.
All right. On three. One, two, three.
You won't regret it.
I want to say it's therapeutic. Like, I want to say this is good, and I think it is, because as we process breakups and these pains, I think we live, not only as we talk about, like, I think we'll talk about it in a second, but we live in a generation where there's an incredible amount of visibility into some of the hardest things now. You know, for you, you have to watch your partner move on. But also, we live in a generation where vulnerability is quickly seen. And so hearing things like this, like hearing you processing through this is obviously going to relate with a lot of people out there. I, unfortunately, had to do it on national TV on Winter Games when Chris Harrison knew the exact question to ask me, Ben, what's the hardest part? Mm-hmm. He knew that's what was going to get me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to even say what I said because this is about you. But my point is, this is not easy. And so you fighting through this is to be expected. For me, I just had to do it when I couldn't walk away.
Right.
But Sean, I want you to just talk as you feel you need. We'll take breaks as we need.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that leads us into that question before is what is the hardest part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first off, thank you guys for being patient with me. I didn't actually think it was going to be this difficult. I knew it'd be hard, but I guess once you actually start opening up about it a little more, makes it that much harder. It just feels like everything is just like completely gone, like that, like Caitlin and Sean, like gone, like everything we've had, everything we've been through. You know, we were this team that we got through a lot of stuff together, but then just like in an instant, it's all gone. And, so it's just trying to, move on from that and then, stay positive about it and not let the outside noise take you down too much. Because, you know, living in a world where everything is on social media and, you know, it's nerve wracking every time I pick up my phone. I haven't been on Twitter in months just because I don't want to scroll the mentions. And then going on Instagram, you know, I do that for business purposes. Obviously, you get caught with scrolling and that's always tough because I just, you know, you have a pit in your stomach and you know this and you know this.
Don't go to the Discover page.
I do not go to the Discover page. I learned that pretty quick. I haven't been there in a while. So yeah, that's the hard part. And I think just with her moving on so quick, I just have a tough time understanding, why she would be putting this out everywhere or blasting it all over the place, knowing, that it could hurt.
There's a lot of confusion about the timeline of the end of your relationship.
Yeah.
When did you start taking a break?
We were working through things during the summer, but we weren't officially, like, we were still together.
Mm-hmm. Like when you guys spent like a month apart and people on Instagram were speculating.
We're freaking out. No, we were still together. We ended up, I would say, officially breaking up in September and then, announcing it in November. It's also around the same time I learned about Caitlin and Jason in November.
Yeah, I want to definitely get into Caitlin and Jason in a second because I know that's got to be hard. But when you, I think looking back on my time too, and I'm just trying to pull back those emotions. I've honestly tried to block them out, but when you broke up,
mm-hmm.
and it was officially done in September.
Right.
And you don't, you know, you take some time to announce it because it's mm-hmm. just wise and smart and it's about you two anyways. And did you expect it to be this hard?
No, I didn't. I think we were at a point in our relationship where we were like, all right, this has to happen. And it was just like, all right, we're doing it. And just kind of went 100 miles an hour. And next thing you know, I think it really hit me hard the day it was announced. That was tough. But I never thought, I guess, in the back of my mind, and I probably shouldn't have thought this, I didn't think it was maybe completely over.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe, all right, there was a part of us that kind of wanted to announce it to kind of get everybody off our backs because we were trying to work on it behind closed doors and doing what we needed to do. And then just the pressure from everybody speculating and a lot of rumors starting, and that started affecting our relationship too. So it was almost like, all right, we're done. And then I guess in my mind, I thought maybe there was still some chance, you know, after we announced it that we would, you know, stay friends, and that's what I wanted to do. Maybe I'm naive for thinking that, but I did tell her that I wanted to work through this as a team. That was my main thing. Like, we only have each other for this, and there's not a lot of people who have been through this situation, and going through breakups are extremely difficult, but then having to deal with everything else, you know, I wanted to work with each other and kind of support one another and be there for each other. And then that just didn't happen.
So why did you decide you couldn't be friends?
Because I found out about her and Jason.
Yeah, let's dig into that then. How do you feel about that?
How much time do we have?
Well, we have, I don't know. I hope a long life ahead of us.
Yeah, I feel the whole array of emotions, pain, anger, confusion. Everything else. Yeah, it's tough.
Well, we got an email from Elizabeth, and she asked a question on this topic. She goes, once you go public with a breakup and you are expected, you're obviously two people expected to move on eventually. She says, I love both Sean and Caitlin, and Sean's feelings should, of course, be taken into consideration. But once you've broken up with someone, do you really get a say on how fast your ex moves on?
No. And I'm not saying, I don't have a say in anything that she does. And that's her life. And obviously what they had was strong enough to pursue that and to run with it. Does it hurt? Hell yeah, it hurts. But she can do what she wants, and I'm not going to stop her from, you know, like that lady asked or said, do we have a say? No, absolutely. I don't have a say.
We, Sean and I were able to speak a couple times since the breakup, and one of those was that he asked that question to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was, do I even have a say here? Like, is there any timeline that we can, because it hurts, right? Like, no matter what, you're human, you see it. The worst part, I think, one of the worst parts about a breakup, not only is the finality of it sometimes, and the idea that, you know, as Sean has talked about earlier, like, you look around, you go, this is done, I'm moving on. But the second part is the Band-Aid being ripped off and seeing that person with somebody else, like, sharing that intimate moment. Because, and Sean, I'll, you know, thank you for giving us the opportunity to ask these questions, and thanks for coming in here to talk to us, but I do have to clarify that when you're engaged, you're setting up boundaries, and you're in it, Ashley. You're setting up boundaries in your head now to say, I'm never going to kiss another person. I'm never going to lay next to another person. I'm never going to look at another person with the trust and the honesty and the vulnerability that I'm doing to this partner. And so when you see that then end, that's one thing. And then when you see that start to happen with somebody else, that's a whole nother. And so what Sean and I came to the conclusion with is exactly what he said. It hurts. It can hurt. It should hurt. It will hurt. But no, we don't have any say, and that's what hurts maybe the most.
Yeah, you can't control it. That's what you have no say in it. It's like, yeah, they're together, and if she's happy, she's happy. That's what she wants to do, then that's what she wants to do. I think that is the finality of it all, though. You know, when we broke up and announced it, and we're still talking.
Still talking as friends?
Yeah, still talking, like texting, and we're still... I was still bringing over Tucker to see her, mm-hmm. and that's what something we were going to continue to do, and yeah, just kind of helping one another out. But then it ended. So then when all this stuff comes out and you find out these things, that was kind of like, all right, I guess this is really done.
We have a question from Maggie relating to the topic, and I do think this is interesting. And I do want to hear, Sean, your opinion on this. It says, the double standard, mm-hmm. from Maggie. I think we, while we obviously want both parties to be happy, and I love Jason and Caitlin for each other, if the roles were reversed and Sean was being this public, he'd be crucified, it says. I mean, there was talk of him just hanging out with a girl from the gym that probably isn't even a relationship, and people were outraged. I think the relationship, yes. has probably been over for a while, and it's Caitlin's right to move on, but there's a double standard. That was from Maggie.
I will say this. I was very frustrated. There were tabloids that came out that I was spotted with some girl at a fitness event. I was also spotted at that fitness event with probably 354 other people as well. They didn't put that in there. And then I was getting attacked really bad, and I was getting very mean emails, messages, comments, and people were just out for my head because they thought that I was dating somebody, which I wasn't, and there was no relationship there. And then I'd heard that Caitlin talked about it on her podcast, and that was something that also frustrated me because at that point I already knew that she had been with Jason and was with Jason a couple weeks prior to that and talking to him. So that hurt.
Why do you think that is? I mean, there is this, it feels like, you know, I remember when the headlines came out, about you and somebody from some fitness event. And no matter what here, let's take even Caitlin out of the conversation here. And like, let's say, yeah, at that point, it wasn't public with her and Jason. Just for you.
Right.
You come out and you're spotted with one girl at a fitness event, mm-hmm. and it becomes, you know, the headlines of negativity. Mm-hmm. This, you know, now comes into play, the Caitlin and Jason thing. And we add that in, it says this is being supported and encouraged.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, I think it's also because he's from Bachelor Nation, right? He's a well-liked guy from Bachelor Nation, and people look at our lives sometimes as being these people on TV. So they're like, oh, I really liked Jason on his season. I was rooting for him. I really liked Caitlin on her season. Oh, it's so cool that they're together. I like both of them. That's one theory that I have. Where I think that is probably why that is very supported. I don't know. I don't know if there's a double standard, but I didn't think it was fair the way I was being treated, just knowing what I knew. But then again, I keep reminding myself what my dad has told me since I've been a little kid, that life is not fair and and it's never going to be fair. So it's just rolling with the punches. And in a sense right now, I'm kind of just getting all of it out of the way. Like, all right, going through the breakup, that's painful. And then, like you said, I think the hardest thing that anybody has to go through is seeing their ex or somebody they're in love with another person. So I'm kind of, all right, we're getting this over with now, like just dealing with it. And I just know that it's all going to make me stronger and I'm going to come out of this a better person. So I try and stay positive as best I can. You know, I'm not going to sit here and complain about my life. Like, I know I'm a lucky guy. Like, I get to wake up every morning and I do what I love most with phenomenal people. I have my health. I have a loving and caring family, great friends. And every day I come home and I have the best dog in the world that greets me when I open the door. So I realize I'm a lucky guy, and I know that this is just a relationship. So I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, poor me, like pity me. You know, I'm going to get through it. It's going to hurt like hell. It does hurt like hell, but it's just going to make me stronger. And I know that down the road, I'm going to be able to look back at this. And I know that down the road, I'll be really happy again in a relationship. So,
okay, so Sean, what are your feelings on Caitlin right now?
Caitlin is someone that I obviously care about and somebody that I was in love with. And she was somebody that I experienced all crazy things in life with and went through a lot with her. So it's tough for me to sit here now, like trying going through the thick of everything and have an honest opinion about her. And I don't want it to be negative because even though we've talked about a lot of the tougher things in our relationship here, you know, I don't want to discredit all the good things that we had in our relationship. And there were a lot of them, and we did have a lot of good times together. And obviously I will look back at this part of my life and cherish it. So I guess at the end of the day, I do want her to be happy. And
now I suppose that the reason you maybe have a bad taste in your mouth is just because how fast she moved on?
Yeah, I think that just, it stings. And I think that's normal to have those feelings. But again, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I was this perfect guy in this relationship, and I know there are things that I could have been better with, and I'm not putting the blame on her for the relationship or why it ended. I think it just hurts seeing somebody that you were in love with move on and move on quickly. Mm-hmm. But she's allowed to do that, and it is what it is. But yeah, it's hard.
You mentioned a couple times through the podcast, and so I got to ask, is there a chance or do you foresee yourself ever getting back together?
No.
Was the answer to that different like a month ago?
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to take another break.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to: hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So when you guys did officially split in September, you didn't have this any sort of negative connotation.
No, I don't think it was really negative. It was just sad. Okay. I think we were both sad, and I think we were both at a point where it had to happen. So it was, we were being friendly, and but she had moved on, which is fine. So I think that's kind of when the communication stopped.
I feel like Caitlin may have started mourning the end of your relationship before possibly it was even over, mm-hmm. say in like July when things started really going down south and you were trying to work on things.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think you started? I don't want to like just say for a fact she started boarding in July. Right. I have no idea when she did. Mm-hmm. This is just vibes I'm getting. Mm-hmm. But when do you think you started mourning the end of the relationship?
Yeah, that could be a true statement. I think it was probably after her. Mm-hmm. And I think everything just kind of hit really hard and really quick. And so maybe that is why I'm having a little bit of a tougher time, because I'm going through the mourning process now where she could have been earlier. So I guess people mourn things differently. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say that announcing the breakup was extremely tough, and then seeing her move on was extremely tough. And I'm kind of just mourning all of it right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So possibly it was, maybe she was mourning the end of the relationship, and then when you guys announced it, she kind of felt a weight lifted. And then you kind of are the opposite. That's when everything started to feel real.
I don't know if I felt the opposite. Like, there was a weight lifted from me too, mm-hmm. I felt. But I guess I just didn't, I don't know, maybe I just didn't prepare myself. I don't think that's something I can prepare for.
No.
I guess it's in the back of your mind, like, all right, maybe this thing won't work. And we did a lot to try and make it work. So I think when it actually did come to an end, it was like, holy cow, it's actually done. And then, of course, even when we broke up, and from September to November, still kind of just, you know, going along day to day. And like I said before, I think it just really hit once it was announced, mm-hmm. and then hit again when I found out everything with Jason.
So I want to be really clear about the timeline. You guys broke up officially in September. You remained friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jason and Caitlin met while recording her podcast in October. And then they started dating in January. Or at least were public about dating in January. Mm-hmm. You're not insinuating at all that they were like going behind your back before the official breakup. I want to make that like super clear.
Yeah, I'm not saying that she was cheating on him, okay. or cheating on me with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, okay, good.
I'm not saying that.
Because I know that she loves you unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to say that. I don't want people to think that. The whole timeline thing, like you said, broke up September, announced it in November. I just found out about the Jason and Caitlin thing back in November. So. Okay. I know they are publicly going on and talking about it right now and saying they're going on their first dates, the second dates, and putting it all over social media. But I knew this for a couple months now. So it's a little bit, I've been dealing with it a little bit longer. So it's kind of a little fresher to the public. The only thing that I guess, I don't know if they're afraid to announce it prior to then.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, and when they say they're going on their first date, I'm assuming that that's public. Because obviously they spent time together before then. So that's the only thing that I was just like, oh, okay. Why are they trying to tell everybody they're just starting to date now? That's why I'm like, are they hiding something? But I don't think they are. That's where I'm confused.
The public really perceived you guys not being married after being engaged for 3 years as a stressor, as maybe that was why you guys broke up, because you just didn't want to get married and she wanted to get married. Was that an actual issue in the relationship or just a perceived issue from the public?
Yeah, that was definitely more perceived by the public. It was never a big thing with us. Since day one, we realized that the way we met was definitely a little different. And we always said we wanted to take our time, but there was never any point where I was like, let's get married now. Or she was like, come on, let's get married. We both were just kind of going with the flow. And we really didn't let that outside noise get to us. Like the whole marriage thing, we kind of laughed off. Like, when we're ready, we'll get married. And we just never got to that point. And I think we both felt that. So that's why we never really discussed it or started planning it. Because I think, obviously, deep down she knew and deep down I knew that okay. we just weren't there.
Okay, so you don't think that your relationship was ever stable enough for you to sign the papers and commit to forever.
Right. Yeah. And at least that's how I felt. I mean, I can't talk on her behalf, but I know like she was never like, come on, let's get married. Let's do this. Like, she's always said that she's never been a girl that's, you know, crazy about planning her wedding or getting married. And I think it's just for her being in that stable relationship. And if marriage happens, it happens.
I mean, I would have to imagine for you, and as a friend, I sit there and I read this stuff and I see all of these things, right, come out in tabloids and magazines on, you know, Twitter or whatever it is. I see all these things. I see your picture pop up and I see them, and I know no matter what, neither you or Caitlin here want these things to be spread because they're not true. And so sitting silent feels paralyzing. It almost feels like it would hurt more than coming out and talking about it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people just think I'm this guy who only cares about his gym and working out and his dog, and you know, because everybody looks at social media as an end-all be-all, right? They're just like, oh, this guy does not give a crap about anything. He doesn't care about his relationship or Caitlin or any of that, which is going to be farther from the truth. And I also want to help, maybe, hopefully this helps somebody get through this, because as tough as this was to sit here and talk, obviously we've come a long way in the last hour. It has helped me, and hopefully this helps somebody if they're sitting in their car right now, because probably somebody's going through a tough breakup. And all three of us sitting at this table have been through very tough breakups.
But since you wanted to come here and tell your side of the story, I just want to clarify a few more things before we move on from all the serious stuff. Was it a mutual split, would you say?
I would say that it ended up being mutual. It ended up getting to a point where we both realized that we couldn't keep going on the way we were.
Okay.
We just weren't giving each other what we both needed, and it was a constant back and forth, and we just couldn't get on the same page.
And so I guess the reasoning behind the split was just not being able to see eye to eye on a lot of things?
Yeah.
Any specifically you want to open up about?
No, just, you know, things that she needed, she didn't feel that I was able to give her, and then vice versa. And it was kind of just this never-ending cycle of...
Did you feel like you were giving that, and that she thought that she was giving what you needed? Or is it something like you guys were just two people that were never meant to give and take from each other?
I think we're both stubborn people, and I think we've tried. There's not like one issue or one thing that's just like, well, that's what caused it. It was just stuff that continued to develop and just kind of get piled on one another. And then it just got to the point where we couldn't do it.
Sean, I want to pause here and just say thanks. I do think your intention of saying, hey, maybe somebody out there listening to this could feel, I think the feeling of pain and vulnerability is never easy to share. I think especially for men, it seems to be hard, and you've done that today. And so somebody out there listening, I guarantee goes, wow, like I'm not alone. And that's really why we started this podcast 2 years ago, is to talk about The Bachelor. And somehow through that, use it as an avenue for that people that watch The Bachelor, enjoy The Bachelor, to know that the people that do The Bachelor are still human, and that as a result, we can share that you're not alone as you watch this and you see people cry and you see people feel pain. I want to lighten it up for a second before we end with a couple final questions for you. I want Ashley to do what she does best, because I guarantee you she has some pretty ridiculous questions to ask you first. So, Sean, before we end this kind of on a more somber note, if you don't mind, I want to take some time for Ashley to take it away.
Let's do it.
I don't think we've ever gone from this sad to like
am I just depressing
stupid
everybody?
Questions. No.
Not depressing at all. I don't know.
Heaviness.
You know, everybody in this room, there's five of us in the room right now. I think vulnerability, authenticity, genuineness, and that like rawness is attractive to so many. And I think it's very rare that we're able to share in those moments with each other. And so as a result, no, I don't think it's depressing. I actually just think it feels like life. It just feels like life in here. It feels like we can all just take a deep breath and be like, yeah, things are sometimes really great. We can become numb to the pain and numb to the things that hurt. But sometimes life just smacks us in the face and we have to talk about it. And it's moments like that now that I think I'm most attracted to as I get older, is the moments that we can say, no, like sometimes life just hurts. And so, no, not depressing. I just think it feels really heavy in here and in a really relatable way.
And on that note, yeah. Who's your man crush?
I'm standing right next to him.
Really?
My man.
No, I know that's not true.
My man crush. Whew, that's a good one. When I watch movies,
celebrity
like,
crush is lame. That's a lame question. Yeah. We want to know who your man crush is.
I'll be honest. I really thought you were going to just say Ryan Gosling.
I do like the Goss.
How could
big,
you not? I
big mean, fan it's... of Jake Gyllenhaal too. He's okay. He's Jake the Snake's the man. Leo's another one. All three of them.
They're all three really fantastic choices. What was the last movie that made you cry or moved you?
Oh, I just watched one recently, I think. Marley and Me.
All right. Gosh, well, yeah. Yeah. I remember when I first saw that movie. It ended at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just watched it for the first time a couple of years ago. And then my sister and I had to wake my dad up with a FaceTime and be like, let me see the Lucy. Sad. I have to see Lucy.
It's the saddest.
But real quick, can you imagine being the father of Ashley and Lauren? How much fun that's got to be.
I mean, I've never met Lauren, but I need to. She seems fun.
I mean, just unbelievable. Ashley's, they're crying at 2 a.m. Yeah. He's nice enough to be like, all right, guys.
Here she is. Here's Lucy. What is the worst movie you've ever seen?
Paul Blart, the Mall Cop.
I never saw it, but it looked really bad. For me, it's The Love Guru.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad one.
It's real bad. I walked out of the theater.
Paul Blart have a two? Like, Paul Blart, Mark?
Yeah.
Mall Cop
was like a three or four.
I was shocked that they were able to make a sequel to that. And lastly, your first concert. What was that?
Dave Matthews Band, Hartford, Connecticut.
Cool.
I'm semi-surprised by that.
Are
I'm
you?
Not.
That
That's
was like
so
always like a big
classic.
Deal.
Yeah. Did you smoke weed at that concert?
No comments.
How old were you?
No, I didn't because I was pretty young. I think I was probably like 14.
My buddies just went to a Dave Matthews concert. It's his 18th, and he never smokes, ever. He hates smoking. He smoked at this concert. He FaceTimed me. His eyes are red, and he's just having a panic attack. In the back. I said, well, lesson learned. Yeah.
There you go.
Don't try to be cool, buddy. Drugs aren't cool. Hey, Sean, again, thank you. This is more in general for anybody listening. And also, I want to invite anybody listening to please email us at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com. Any of your questions for Sean, questions for us, stories of breakup, stories of pain. You know, if we're going to be vulnerable with you, we want to also offer the arena and the opportunity for you to be vulnerable with us. And so email us. And Sean, to end here, two final questions. Mm-hmm. One is, as a friend of yours, as somebody that loves you, as somebody that also still loves Caitlin, and I know Ashley loves Caitlin, but just as friends in general, how can friends best support people that are going through breakups?
Just be there for them no matter what and just listen like you've done for me. I called you. I think you were in the Dominican, right?
Yeah, I was.
With David Ortiz.
I was.
And you took time away, probably an hour and a half, even with like a 3 or 4 second delay when we talked to each other.
That's right.
And just offering advice. Yeah, and just being there. I've really learned, you know, who I can count on. And that's, I guess, been a positive through all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be there.
Be there.
One of our mutual friends, Naz, producer mm-hmm. on the show, who is no longer a producer, she created something called Heartbroken Anonymous, and it's basically mm-hmm. an AA meeting every month for people who are heartbroken, and so they can just talk out their feelings with other people in similar situations.
Nice. So, are you trying to get me to go?
I'm just thinking that if you are here on Valentine's Day, she's doing it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Sean, you need help.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? No, I think that's a great idea. Actually, that group, just to let you know, has grown tremendously. So it's actually, yeah, it kind of relates really well with this.
Just everybody off the bachelor seasons, they just pile on to there.
Yeah, they just all show
there
up.
There have been some alums at the meeting.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I think it's gone really well, and it's interesting to think that we're, you know, communities mm-hmm. are connecting over pain. Well, I don't know. I think that's cool. I think that's what cool. church kind of should be. That's another topic. Hey, final question for you, buddy. Mm. How do you move forward?
Just continue what I'm doing, and I'm trying to stay positive and really just focusing on the good in my life and knowing that there is this whole other side to this that I'll get to. Might take a little bit of time, but like I said, I am a lucky guy in a lot of aspects of my life, so it's just powering through it and just moving on. Like I've always done, like you've always done, like everybody listening to this has always done. That's all I can do.
You can go see Sean at the Booth Camp Gym in Nashville, or you can go and download his app at
boothcampapp.com.
Sean.
Ben.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for being here. Bye.
You know, in depth was really designed to go deep into topics that typically we don't get the opportunity to talk about. And we work, you know, closely right now with The Bachelor. And, you know, the show has been something that we've watched, Ashley and I have watched for years for entertainment and for joy and to take our mind off of things. You drink wine, you eat cheese, and you celebrate with friends, and you watch people pick roses. And then sometimes we have instances like Sean's here, mm-hmm. like yours and like mine. And I would say every season and most people that participate in the show, they have a story from the show that transcends reality television. And as I said, we work closely with The Bachelor. And this week, on this week's episode, there is a moment, maybe the most real, vulnerable, most difficult moment to ever get through in Bachelor history.
I agree.
It's sobering. It's tough, and The Bachelor, you know, sent it to us so we could talk about it. We want to talk about it with you today, and then we also want to talk about it more in depth on Monday. Mm-hmm. But here's the scenario. What you're going to watch on Monday is a topic that we've actually broached a couple times on this podcast with Ashley Spivey a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's right.
We've, you know, I mentioned on that podcast that I know somebody very close to me who has been a victim of sexual assault. And on this week's episode of The Bachelor, Kaylin and Colton sit down for their after date dinner. And typically at those dinners, it is the time that you're building a relationship. You're talking about things that make you who you are. It helps the bachelorette understand the contestants better, and it helps the audience then understand the contestants better. And we said it last week, actually, Ashley, that, you know, there was something about Kaylin that we just weren't getting yet. Like, we felt like there was more to the story, and we thought that, like, that we had kind of, she had brought up topics about herself. She had said, there's more to me, you know, than what I'm communicating, but we didn't know what that was. And this week we found out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kaylin sits down with Colton and shares with him that in college she was at a party. At this party, her drink was drugged, and the story continues to where herself and I think it was three of her friends find themselves naked the next morning without any memory of what happened the night before.
Yeah.
With that, she concludes through some very obvious factors that she was a victim and also a survivor mm-hmm. of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm watching this, it's obviously deep. It's obviously a moment that she's sharing now with the world. Colton is listening to her. And I just felt like, okay, this seems to be a topic, once again, that continues to get brought up. How often does this happen? How many people are out there saying, I am a survivor and I have been a victim of sexual assault? And this is what I found out. According to a study done in this year, 20% of women admit to being a victim of sexual assault. 8% of men.
That's crazy.
30% of our population.
Insane. Okay, well, we have the clip from The Bachelor this Monday night. So we just want to clarify, you guys, this isn't a spoiler. This is something that ABC gave to us because they want us to open this dialogue on the topic and for you guys to all watch it so that you can come to us with some of your thoughts and feelings and we can discuss it more on our regular show on Monday night.
Thank you. Thank you for being able to open up to me, too.
Yeah.
No, I think that's maybe why I feel so safe with you.
You're incredibly strong, you know that?
Thank you. I feel like I've been through hell and back, but I think every time I open up, it makes me stronger. And I'm able to take a little piece of me back that was broken by it. I'm way stronger than I ever imagined.
You okay?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't open up with him about this if I didn't feel so safe with him. Everything about our relationship feels natural and feels real and feels authentic. And it just, it feels right. I don't think I've ever had like a connection the way that Colton and I have one.
Did we have this whole place to ourselves, right?
The whole place? This is so beautiful. It just feels like it's us. I know that I can definitely see myself falling in love with him. I just feel so confident in us.
I mean, I don't really know if I have words, you know? That was like probably the deepest moment I've ever watched on The Bachelor. I feel like there was like an amazing amount. There's something between them now that is going to be unlike what he has with anybody else, because I don't think you get that vulnerable. I don't know that he's going to share a moment that vulnerable with another person. So I think they're always going to have like a little special spot for each other.
Well, also, you know, we've spoken about it before, and in life in general, let's, you know, again, this transcends reality television. Mm-hmm. This isn't in the vacuum of The Bachelor now. Let's say in life in general, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. You meet Kaylin for the first time and you go, there's something more to this woman than what I'm understanding. She's beautiful and she's smart and she's intelligent. She's gritty, but there's something more. And I look at you, Ashley, and I'm saying, you know, you're the same thing as I would just say about Kaylin. I'm like, but there's something more. It's our stories behind the layers mm-hmm. that pull out who we actually are. Mm-hmm. This is one of those circumstances that we were able to see somebody's story that has now shaped Kaylin forever. Being a victim of sexual assault, I don't want to undervalue or just kind of gloss over what that means. That affects your life forever. I am not a victim, mm-hmm. right? I can't claim to understand completely where she's coming
from.
Nor
can I.
But what I can say is we can read about it, we can understand it, and we can listen to it. And when we're listening to Kaylin, we know that shaped everything in her life since then.
Absolutely. And I don't want to say that it's nice to hear. I can't find the right word again. But there's something about the way that she told Colton how, because he's a virgin, she feels so comfortable with him.
Yeah. You're right.
Because of that. Like, that he is not a threat to her in any way. That she just feels cozy.
One topic for Monday that I want to discuss is shame. Kaylin feels an enormous amount of shame coming off of this. She brings it up to Colton. She holds a lot of regret in her heart about it. She said her friends have kind of covered up. I want to talk to you, Ashley. I want to hear from our listeners. Please email us at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com about the topic of shame and how much that has affected Kaylin's life based on a scenario that she did not control, that somebody in their wickedness and evilness did to her. And now she's talking about it, and we want to talk about it with you. Make sure you tune in Monday night to The Bachelor to see this for yourself, see the extended clip, and have this open dialogue and conversation that Kaylin has helped us start.
We know it's been heavy, you guys, today.
Yeah.
It's been a deep episode, but we enjoy you guys being here with us and getting to know people on a deeper level.
We look forward to Monday night, and we'll talk to you then. Ashley, it's good to see you.